to go. Endless night then to you will have come. If the light has gone out in your soul, oh, just think how in dead you will be. Thank y'all for helping me sing that. All right. Today's lesson is, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. I'm not used to this pulpit being so small. I got to close some, move some stuff around here. As I think about this lesson today, Jesus delivers a stinging, cut no corners, tell it like it is lesson to his disciples and to the Jewish ruling class of that day, the scribes and the Pharisees, knowing all along they want to kill him. They want to take him out. And Jesus knew he was on his way to the cross. Now, during this particular lesson, Jesus does something that's going to kind of unnerve his disciples. And that is, he's going to pronounce judgment on the Jewish nation, on their leaders, and their beloved temple. At the conclusion of this lesson today, my hope is that we can take the thoughts that are presented here and apply them to us, so that we won't fall victim to the things in which Jesus is going to pronounce over the Jewish nation and their leaders. Matthew chapter 24. That's where we are today. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 1 and 2. We're going to read it. Where the Bible says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto him, see ye not all these things? Verily, truly I say unto you, there should not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, it says Jesus went out. I like words, because words mean something. Every word, even the little bitty words, they mean something. Went out. It says Jesus went out. Jesus left the temple complex grounds. This temple was huge. We'll talk more about that later. It was huge. It was called Herod's temple. See, Solomon's temple had been torn down. So Herod built upon the ground where Solomon's temple was and built the temple for the Jews. It was humongous. It was large. So the Bible says he went out. He left the temple ground. That's significant. And we'll get to that. That's important. He left the temple ground. Not only did he leave it, the Bible says he departed. What does it mean he departed? That means to leave and never return. Jesus was leaving the temple. This is the last time he's going to go to the temple to teach the people. This is the last time. Remember now, all this is taking place during the week of his death. Jesus is going to be out of here. They're going to kill him. They're going to murder him. So for the last time, he's leaving the temple. Now watch this. The disciples have seen this temple many times. They have saw the temple many times. Jesus has seen the temple many times. He's been there. See, taught in there. They've been there. So why are the disciples coming to him and telling him about the temple. In other words, they bragging on the temple. Say, Jesus, look. Look at the temple. Look how gorgeous. Look how great it is. Like Jesus didn't know that. Like he had never seen it. Why are they doing that? It's because of what Jesus had taught them previously. So to get the background of this lesson, we got to go back to chapter 23. So what I want you to do is just flip on over. We're going to get back to 24 verse 1. But in order to understand why he's leaving the temple, why he's departing the temple, why he's never going back there again, while the disciples are all bragging about, look, Jesus, how great this temple is. They puzzle because of something he said earlier. You know how sometimes somebody tell you something, and you don't quite get it. You've been like scratching your head, and keep you up, and what do they mean by that? Well, the disciples had a problem because Jesus said something that had them scratching their head about their temple. The Jews looked up to the temple because this is the place where God said, I'm going to put my name there. God said, I'm going to be amongst my people in their temple. Now, Jesus said something about that temple that got them worried. So we go to chapter 23. And we're going to start at verse number 1. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to just pick out a couple of verses there. Now, Harold, you can take the day off because I'm going to be doing some reading himself. You take the day off. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples. So he's talking to all of them. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. Now, he's talking to the people, but he's talking about the scribes. He's talking about the Pharisees. He's talking about all the Jewish leaders. He's talking about the priests and all those people. Because these are the people that are supposed to be teaching God's people the right way, or teaching them the right things to do. But they were not. And Jesus had some of his harshest words were to those leaders of that day. So he says, and we're just going to jump around in chapter 23. Drop down to verse 3. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. Jesus said, what they tell you to do, and they backing it up with Moses, do it. But look what he says. But do not ye after their works. He say, nah. As long as they sticking with the book, you do what they say. Mm-hmm. But you watch them. Don't do what they do. Amen. Because they were hypocrites. They would say something out of one side of their mouth. Mm-hmm. They turn around and do something totally different. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, now, what they tell you what to do, and they can back it up with Moses, do it. You watch them jokers. Don't you do what they do. Sound like they don't. Verse 4, he says, for they bear heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. They tell you, do this, you do that, but they won't do it. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. Oh, they going to be looking good, smelling good, and talking good, and smiling in your face. But Lord have mercy, as soon as they're on the other side of the door, they doing their thing. They're shaking their group thing. You know what I'm talking about. They doing whatever they want to do. Jesus said, don't do what they do. Don't do. He said, as long as they stick with Moses, you do what they say. Drop down to verse number 13. It's where we start getting into the thick of Jesus' message. And we're going to understand why those disciples, look at the temple. Jesus, check it out. Why is Jesus leaving and departing this glorious building that they love so much? Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Jesus called them hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is, don't you? Mm-hmm. One who plays a part, an actor. A lot of folk in the church playing the part. Actors. It's kind of quiet up in here. Mm. I mean, and back in Hip Hill, it's about 35 of us. Well, I hear more. More amens Amen. Than that. Amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Amen. Even if it's you, tell the truth. Oh my goodness. Hypocrite. Playing the part, acting. Oh, how I love Jesus on Sunday, Monday through Friday, worse than the devil himself. Talk about me too. I ain't just talking about you. Talking about us. Jesus said, this is what these priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, they just like that. Hypocrites, playing the part, actors, acting like they love the Lord, and really they don't. Look what he says. For they shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For neither go in themselves, neither suffer ye them to be in. In other words, they make it so hard. Huh. They twist God's word up so hard when it's simple. That you scratch your head and say, I might as well give up. I ain't going to be able to make it in. But they themselves won't even try to do right and make it in. Now watch this right here. This verse 13 is the beginning of a series of woes. That word woe simply means calamity. It's coming. A calamity is coming. Trouble is on the horizon. And so Jesus is saying, woe, trouble's coming to you because of your actions. He's the word calamity, an event or circumstance causing loss or misery. Jesus said, calamity is coming. Trouble is coming to you Jews, you scribes, you Pharisees, you people who play the part, you hypocrites, you actors. Drop down to verse 15. It's a series of woes. I'm just going to be hitting a couple of them. He says, verse 15 says, woe unto you scribes and you Pharisees. Lord have mercy. Hypocrites. He called them hypocrites again. Jesus is hardcore. He ain't playing. And guess what? Just like he wasn't playing with them, he ain't playing with us. When we play the part, when we act, when we won't do what we know we need to do. Jesus teaches us and throughout the scripture to love one another as I have loved you. And we act like we can't forgive folk. I always want to point the finger at somebody. Well, you know, if they did this, then I wouldn't do that. Actor. Hypocrite. Playing the part. He says, woe to you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass seas and lands. This, Jesus got a sense of humor too. He says, watch this. He says, ye compass, and you go over the sea, you travel all around the world to make one proselyte. Oh, you're going to get one person in. Ooh, he's a member of the Jewish family. He's a member of the church. Oh, we went off. We spent all our money. We traveled across the land and seas. Child, look what we done. But when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. That's nasty, Jesus. That's hardcore. He said, what? He said, you do all this here to make one proselyte. But when you make him a proselyte, the way you teach him, the way you treat him, you make him worse than you are. We have a duty to people who we lead to the Lord. We have a duty to people who come into our midst, into our presence. Not to make them worse. To build them up and make them better. To help them. We are to help one another. Show love one towards another. When folk come up in here, y'all, they should see love amongst folk up in here. They should see peace amongst folk up in here. They should see people pulling one for another, not pushing against one another. When one is happy, we all happy. Supposed Amen. To be. Amen. When one is sad, we all supposed to be sad. That's what the book say. Yeah. Continuing. Drop down to verse number 15. Verse number 24. Verse 24. Look what he says. He says, whoa. To you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. I can imagine some of those Pharisees, but I said, Jesus, we can really tire you calling us hypocrites. It's about that's too many hypocrites you done did. But Jesus is hardcore. He ain't cutting no corners, y'all. He tell like my grandpa said, like it is. He tell like it is. He ain't playing. Say, you hypocrites. This is probably Jesus' most harshest sermon throughout all his 3-year ministry. And there's a reason why he's doing it. And we're going to get to that in a second. He says, for ye pay tithe of mint and ace and cumin, and ye have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Lord have mercy. And that is true. Sometimes we be major in the minor things and minor in the majors. Mm. Stuff that really is important, stuff that you're going to really think about in the next 10 years, we don't worry about that. It's a little bit of things that you're going to forget about. We want to harp on that and beat on that. Jesus said, that's what y'all do. Talking to the scribes and priests, y'all into this ceremonial washings and all this cleansing, this, instead of the man there, Poe, and you won't give him nothing to eat. The man there, he's his family's down and out. You won't take him in. He said, you majoring in the minors and minoring in the majors. Mm. Verse 24, the next one. Ye blind guides. That's a direct quote talking to the Pharisees, to the priests, to the scribe. Direct. Say, you blind guides. He says, which strain at a gnat. And swallow a camel. Jesus, come on now. He tell like it is, y'all. He say, you worry about all the bitty things. But the big things, you just overlooking. Drop down to verse 27. We're trying to get somewhere here. We're almost there. Verse 27. He says, woe.
Unto you, scribes.
To you, scribes. Pharisees. Hypocrites.
There you go.
Jesus ain't playing. He hypocrites again. He said, for ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on outside. Oh, that's what we said. You know, the priests walked around with all their robes on and they had their little hats and came in processions. When the people came, the people would step back and, you know, give them money and all that. He said, you walk around looking good. You appear to be just so beautiful on the outside. Everything looking good, but look at here. But are within full of dead men's bones. Jesus said you're dead inside.
Mm.
When the Lord look at you today, when the Lord look at me, will he say we look good on the outside, but we good also on the inside?
Mm.
Or will he say, you look marvelous on the outside, but inside you dead.
Mm.
This is what he said about the religious leaders of that day. Why is he doing that? Mm. We're going to get there. Verse 36, we're going to bring this home. Look what he says. After all these woes, call them serpents, vipers, blind guides. Get down to verse 36. He says, brother, I say unto you, who is the you here? You blind guides, you serpents, you hypocrites.
Mm.
All these things shall come upon this generation.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I've been, destruction, all this stuff is about to happen to y'all. It's going to come up on you. Verse 37, he says, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Jesus said, I tried to reach out to you. See, what they fail to realize is that the one that followed them in the wilderness, you know the cloud and the fire that was in front and back of them throughout their journey in the wilderness, the one who had been watching over them for 1,500 years, he was right there amongst them.
Okay.
And he said, I just want to gather you, but you won't let me. You won't let me. So here Jesus is going to pronounce a destruction rather on the Jewish system, the leaders, and ultimately the people themselves of that generation. Look what he says. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Told you I like words. That word desolate. What does it mean, Jesus? Without hope. Empty. What's the house you're talking about? That temple. That thing that you look and you just love so much and you just brag on. He said it's going to be empty. It's going to be desolate. It's going to be without hope. It's going to be destroyed. You know, a Roman historian said this here about the temple. He says, if you haven't seen the Jewish temple, you haven't seen the building. It was such a beautiful sight, and the Jews were proud of it. And so Jesus says, all that's coming to nothing. Why? Jesus, why? Let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 24 to get our lesson for today. As I stated, the disciples were puzzled as to why Jesus said these things. That's why in verse number 1, they came to him to talk about how beautiful the temple was. Because he just told them, it's going to be desolate. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be nothing left. And they don't understand why. How could he really mean that the temple is coming to an end? They didn't understand that. And so while he was telling Jesus the beauty, look at the temple, how great it is. Verse number 2 of chapter 24. He says, and Jesus says unto him, see ye not all these things? Talking about that temple. Verily I say unto you, there should not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be torn down. Jesus said, that temple is coming down. Not only is the temple coming down, the whole system is coming down. And the leaders are coming down also. Why? Number one, they rejected him as Messiah. Amen. This is why he was so hardcore in chapter 23. Not only did they reject him, they were teaching the people to reject him as Messiah. Number two, they rejected the correct teachings of God's word that Jesus taught. This is why they always tried to trap him. They always came tempting him because they rejected. You know why they really, really rejected? Jesus was messing with their money. Bottom line, he was messing with their money. Because right. the people was following Jesus, and they weren't going to the temple no more. And so now the scribes and the Pharisees said, wait, well, hold the phone here. The people ain't coming, they bringing any money. They made merchandise. You remember Jesus swept out the temple? He beat them out of there? They were making merchandise. They were making money in the temple. They were making money off the people.
Right.
Selling doves and all this kind of stuff. And Jesus, you're not going to make my father's house a den of thieves?
That's right.
Sad to say, sometimes even today. Amen, Walt's wife. Folk make merchandise out of God's house. It's about money and not the people. And that's sad. That's a sad statement that has to be made. But it's true. And so Jesus says, the third lesson is that the leaders and the religious system is being rejected. So Jesus is going to reject. He was rejected as Messiah. They rejected God's teaching. Now he's going to reject them and that system. And so the disciples don't understand what was about to happen. So how does all this here make, I'm sorry, how does all this apply to us? That's what I want to say. How does it apply to us? We want to bring it home. See, it's a good story. I got that. Yeah. But how does it apply to us? Number one, we don't want Jesus to reject us.
Yeah.
But he will if we reject him. We don't want Jesus to reject our country. Do you not know our country is turned upside down, y'all?
Amen.
You know why? We have left God. And you know whose fault that is? Ours.
Amen.
Us. Grown folk, I'm talking about. I ain't talking to children in here. Grown folk. Like the old people say, cheering. I ain't talking about church. Us, grandpa, we left God. We won't stand up for what's right no more. Everything is relative. Well, you know, they just have a people. Stand up and be a man. This is what David told Solomon. You stand up and be a man. When he's about to go off the scene, he said, you stand up. Latch up guard your belt up. Yeah. Yeah. Your loins. Yeah. Tighten them up. Be a man. We need to stand up and do what's right and teach what's right. Stop saying everything is relative. Watch this right here. Folk will kill you. Folk will die to save trees. Come on. You know it. People go out in the forest and they realize that the people are cutting trees down. They'll go out there and they will nail spikes in the trees. So when the man come with the big saw and hit the spike, tie the saw up sometime, hurt the man, kill him. Oh, you gotta save the trees. They go hug, they call them tree huggers, right? Go hug the trees and put big, you know, human chain link around the forest. You can't come to here, stand in front of the bulldozer and all that. Go do all that. But says nothing about killing babies. You don't want God. God will reject us. Won't say nothing about that. Well, that's so good. Fight for our right to kill babies. Think about that. Pushing same-sex marriage. We say, my God gonna reject us. Just like he rejected them, that nation, he'll reject this nation too. And guess what? We living in it. We don't have to pay the price too. We just stand up. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying go bash people because of that's what they believe. That's not what I'm saying. But when we have the opportunity, I can't go with that one. Just tell the truth. Instead of just sitting up in the corner. No, I can't go with that one. Psalms 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When we fear God, the nation rise up. When we don't, you get what you get, which is what we got now. Number two, we don't want the Lord to reject us as a church, as a group, as a called out group, as an assembly. But he will if we don't dwell together in unity. Psalm 133:1. It's good, the Bible says. It's pleasant when brothers dwell together in unity. When we pull one for another. When we lift each other up. When we do God's will. See, sometimes we be just slow in God's business. I know things have been kind of rough because of the pandemic and the economy and all that. But that still don't give us the right not to try to teach nobody. That still don't give us the right to not live right. Amen. Jesus says in Revelation 14:13, talking to the church of the Laodiceans, he says, I know your works. You ain't hot nor cold. You ain't trying to do nothing. You just sitting on your duff, ain't doing nothing. Well, child, you know how things is. No, God ain't going to accept child how you know how things are. He ain't going to accept that. He wants us to be out, active. If anything, y'all, just live right. just act right. Treat folk right. Talk to folk like they got some sense. When he talking bad to me, so they don't give you a right to talk back bad to him. They talk bad to Jesus. Not only they talk bad to him, they hit him. They slapped him. They spit on him. That's nasty. they beat him. Bible say he didn't say nothing. He didn't say a mummy word. He didn't say, well, they did it to me, so I'm gonna do it to them. No. Boss man treat you bad. That's okay. Who is in charge of the boss man? Amen. See, that's what we gotta always understand. Who's in charge of the boss man? God is over all. Whose child are you? When you know you're the child of the king, just think about it. If your daddy was the president, think about it. If your daddy was the president, there's certain things you just wouldn't worry about. Amen. But guess what? Our daddy is more than the president. Amen. Our daddy controls the president and all his men, as it would be. So we shouldn't worry about when things start going a little haywire and life starts throwing us all those lemons and stuff like that. That's okay. It's okay. Because God is in control. And God makes good lemonade. Real good lemonade. Finally. We don't want the Lord to reject us personally. If we live in, as I stated a few minutes ago, living raggedy. We acting like folk in the world, like we don't know nothing about. Ain't never heard nothing about God, the way some of us live. Say anything. Smile. Say anything, cuss like a sailor. You know Christian folk cuss? Put me to shame. Put all of us to shame. Like, what? So it's just, oh my God. But yes, on Sunday morning. Oh, how I love Jesus. Child, y'all big it up. It's time to go to church. Children watching that too. I'm going to say this. I don't think I ever said this here before publicly. It's been a while, so most of those kids are grown and gone, and probably some of the family is gone too, so I'm going to say it. I'll never forget when we was in working with the youth, me, David, Stephen, all of us working with you. We just had a round table with the kids one day, and I can never forget what this child said. I don't forget who the kid was, but I remember what they said. They said, you know what the saddest thing is? Some of our parents hypocrites. That kind of made me, I had to sit up in my chair. And me being me, explain. Well, when we're at home, they one way. When I here with y'all, they're another way. You don't know what's in our icebox, do you? No, I haven't been checking your icebox, neither will I go check your icebox. They know. God will reject us. This is what Jesus said, hypocrite. That's what a hypocrite is, an actor. One who plays the part. Amen. Don't be the hypocrite. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, know ye not that your temple, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwell in you. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye are of God, and ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price.
That's right.
Jesus went through all that suffering and pain for us. He gave up his life. If you just imagine the suffering that Jesus went through, it ought to make you just cringe. So the next time when you're ready to form your mouth to say one of them cuss words, just say, Jesus died. I don't have to do that. Jesus suffered for me. He did all that for me. He did it for you because he loved us so much. But God commended, Romans 5:8, but God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He did it even when we were in the midst of our sin because he loved us so much. And all he asked us to do, y'all, it's so simple. He asked us to do, if you love me, just do what I say. Just do what I say. Let us strive, y'all. Let us strive to work together, not to reject the Lord so he won't reject us.
Amen.
You're here today and you're not a Christian. You need to be. Amen. He went through all that with suffering for you. Amen. Gave up his life. He didn't have to because he had done no wrong. The Bible said neither was God found in his mouth. Amen. Came to this earth, lived a sinless life, 33 years. And because these people who we were talking about today, these Jews, these scribes, these Pharisees, these hypocrites, they hated him because he was teaching the people God's true message. Mm-hmm. They wanted to kill him. They rejected him as Messiah. They said, man, we're looking for Messiah right there in front of them. Mm-hmm. They rejected him. went before Pilate. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. Y'all want to kill him. I don't see no fault in him. They say, away with him. Crucify him. March Jesus up that hill called Calvary to that place of the skull. Put them nails in his hands and in his feet for 6 long hours. He hung out there for you and for me. Pain, agony, suffering after having been tortured with that brutal beating. He died out on that cross. A soldier came by and pierced him in his side. Out forthwith came, the Bible says, blood and water. Thank God blood came out. Thank God water came out too. After he died, they took him down and put him in the ground. After 3 days, his father raised him up with all power. Jesus told his disciples, now listen here, I want you to go into all the world and preach this love story. Because that's what it is. It's a love story. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. It's a love story. He said, now go and teach this gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Yes, you got to be baptized. You got to go down into that water. See, something marvelous happens when you go in that water. And folk don't want to tell you that, but it does. The marvelous things happen when you go in that water. God washed away your sins. Oh, yeah, he cut away your sins. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses, and also is the Holy Ghost that God gives to them that obey him. Ooh-wee. He give you his Holy Spirit. He cuts away your sin. And then he give you a pardon in your hand. Lord have mercy. They think you've been in jail. They say, we're giving you lifetime life. You ain't gonna never get up out of here. You're gonna rot in this jail. Then here comes the governor. Say, you know what? We done reviewed your case. And we're gonna pardon you for everything you done. You are free to go. That's what Jesus did for us. Because we sin. We fall short every day. Tell the truth, shame the devil. We fall short every day. Might already fall short this morning. Tell the truth. But because of that wonderful sacrifice that Jesus made out on that cross, he'll forgive us and give us eternal life. So if you're here today and you are a Christian, and maybe you've fallen short, there's hope. Repentance, confession, and prayer. God will restore to you the joy of his eternal salvation. You don't have to live that way no more. He's given us hope. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just follow him. And if you love me, do what I say. If you want to come, you want to ask the church for prayer, you want to become a Christian, we're going to get an opportunity. We're going to stand and sing a verse of a song.
Amen. Careless soul, why will you linger wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation of
see.
Amen.